Good morning, my loves. I've been thinking a lot the last couple days about trauma and pain and the supposed purchasing power of fame and recognition. I was joking with some friends the other day that you have to be really careful sleeping with and dating stand-up comedians because they usually carry so much trauma with them. And while they are funny and delightful and amusing on stage, when you get them behind closed doors and into bed, there can be a lot of agony. Greetings from New Zealand. I just woke up. And I love you. And I'm really jet-lagged, but I managed to stay up last night until about 10 o'clock. I was very proud of myself. I was exhausted. And there's rain slashing down on the roof. The weather here is insanely dramatic. It is as beautiful as I remember it, and the weather is making everything feel 10 times weirder. So I mentioned in my New Year's post that I was thinking about working on a new book, and I've been exploring a couple of ideas for a new book for a while. And I think there are overlapping themes and things that are really piquing my inner curiosity right now about myself, those around me, and in an interesting way, in the macro-sized vacuum black hole of America and the teeny little micro-souls of the people that I've gotten to know over the past 46 years. And I have been thinking about trauma and pain and scale of need in other departments. I've been thinking about what trauma does to the direction in which your human feet perambulate. And I've been thinking about what trauma looks like when it is not healed by the community, and what trauma looks like when it is just a free-floating agent. I have been looking with horrified interest, as I'm sure many of you are, at the story about the football player. Is it DeMar? I think it's DeMar. Who's lying in critical condition in the ICU after collapsing on the football field. And I look at this metaphor, let's call it a metaphor, of men crashing into other men for humanity's collective entertainment and enjoyment. As a good starting point for this discussion as well. What drives a human being to need to achieve that scale of recognition? What drove me as a little girl and then a woman in her 20s, to need to be so recognized for my musical talent or my stage charisma or my writing abilities or what have you. And where is the line between a kind of a healthy community ecosystem in which gifts and talents are recognized and cooked into the meal of the community, and what is the flip side of that? I'm thinking about anorexic 7-year-olds in beauty contests. I am thinking about men crashing into other men with such velocity that they kill each other. I am thinking about what happened to Michael Jackson. I am thinking about Prince. I'm thinking about Janis Joplin. I'm thinking about the hunger that comes with trauma. I've written about it before, not for a long time, but there's a Buddhist Buddhist story about the hungry ghost. And the image of the hungry ghost is this ghost, this angry, insatiable, hungry ghost with a gigantic maw and a skinny neck, so it eats and eats and eats, but it can't swallow and digest. And the lack of balance, like the lack of symmetry or proportion in this ghost, is what I think happens to a lot of human beings in this society, when our hunger outstrips our ability to digest, because our community has abandoned us, and the community, the village, the functional village is the enzyme that traditionally would help us digest our own ego. And if it is gone, you are left with a deep hunger and no digestive materials. And following on, this makes me think about hatred, anger, and fear, because they are all wrapped up in this same discussion. And just because somebody has a hunger or a passion or desire, clearly, does not mean that they get to attain or obtain the object of their desire. And so on the flip side of this catastrophic village ecosystem dysfunctioning, you also have incredible disappointment and anger and resentment when human beings feel that they are not living up to their potential. I am thinking of the thousands of people I know who feel that they had a creative calling and it was beaten out of them. I'm thinking about people who have leveled volcanic-sized hatred at me and people like me because they are jealous and resentful of artists. I am thinking about people who kill other people because they are so upset. I am thinking about America and her problem with violence and guns. I am thinking about school shootings. I'm thinking about what happens on either end of the tube when a community and a village does not function properly and who gets spit out which end. So on one hand, you have a 7-year-old anorexic in a beauty pageant, and on the other end, you have a 15-year-old boy walking into a high school and shooting all his classmates. I'm thinking about all of this a lot. I am thinking about what has happened to our men in this catastrophe. I am thinking about what has happened to our women. I am thinking about what has happened to childhood. I am thinking about what has happened to the experience of aging in old age. I am thinking about the rise of fascism, and I am thinking about what the fuck has happened and where did this all go wrong. You know, just some light, just some light philosophical thinking. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about how much I love my patrons. Not just because it's nice to have patrons and draw a salary, but because this system has shielded me in a way from needing to serve certain ego gods within myself, and also because patronage isn't really scalable, I don't think. In the same way, I think New Zealand did really well in the pandemic because it was small and manageable and negotiable, and you have a nice group of people who all pretty much know each other, and they looked around and agreed that they would just do a thing and support an idea. I think I think mega stardom or the desire for it is, inherently, sort of catastrophic. We come from villages and we're supposed to serve, know, and be known by our villages for what we can contribute. And so the village can scale, but it still needs to feel like a village. If it doesn't, things start to feel very wrong. And lonely. And this is why, after 7 years of Patreon, I'm so happy that it feels like a group of people that I kind of know. And I can't tell you how good it felt at the New Year's show to just be able to greet, even if it was for 5 minutes, to be able to greet my patrons, my high-level patrons. And just, like, I know these people. It's Weston, it's Tom, it's, like, it feels grounding and real. They came to see my show because here they are, because they're, like, family, because they care about me and Brian, because they want to see us do well on stage. There's no sense of me being high and them being low. And nor the other way around. It just feels like there are these people who have helped me because I don't know, because they thought it was some kind of worthy investment. This band, this music, this artist, this offering. I don't know if Michael Jackson felt that about his label. I doubt it. It's my early morning muse today. I love you. I'm gonna get up and face the tropical storm. Thank you all for being